Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of comedy. Later on, it's Burns and Allen with special guest Eddie Cantor. But right now, The Henry Morgan Show from Christmas Day 1946 on ABC with an unusual Christmas story.
The Henry Morgan Show. Yes, The Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Fran Warren, Kirk Kelton, Milton Kadem's orchestra, and me, Ben Grauer. And here's the star of The Henry Morgan Show, standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan. Thank you. Not so many Christmases ago, we broadcast a little Christmas story for children. And it was definitely for children, but we heard later that a number of grown-ups sneaked out of bed and listened. Well, you know how parents are, kids. Just when you think that they're asleep, they come out of the bedroom with all kinds of excuses. They want a drink of water. Or there's a tiger in the room. Or their blanket fell on the floor or something. So this year, we might as well let them stay up and listen. But parents, no snickering. We're not going to stand for a lot of grown-ups sitting in front of the radio shaking their heads doubtfully as though we were making the whole thing up. Now, kids, if you notice your mommy or daddy saying things like, oh, nonsense, or, well, that couldn't happen, just look them in the eye and say, I find this story thoroughly credible. Of course, I don't have that kind of trouble with my parents. If they say all nonsense to me, I just don't give them tickets to my show. Now, it's a story, and pretty good. And the story begins the day after Christmas, which you have to admit is an unusual day to begin a Christmas story. It's about two boys and a girl. And they're named Norman, Joey, and Jeannie. How old are they? Oh, they're just about your age. And where do they live? Oh, just across the street. As the story begins, it's the day after Christmas. And Norman, hey boy, is coming up the front walk to Joey's house, and he says...
Hiya, Joey. Hi, Norman. What presents have you got broken?
Oh, I forgot to tell you.
What he said was, what presents have you got broken? It was a very good line, too. I'll tell you that Joey is sitting there looking at the ruins of an electric train, which it took a dozen graduate engineers to put together.
What you doing, Joey? I'm trying to figure out how to put this train together again. Who took it apart? My father. Don't you know enough not to let your father fool around with your toys? They don't know what it's all about.
Well, he was fooling with the train and running it round and round. And after a while, he said he had a theory about how to make it run different.
What's a theory?
I don't know. Something your father has when he tells you to hand him a screwdriver.
What'd you get for Christmas?
Oh, a sled and some skates and a Rector set.
Yeah? What else?
Oh, the rest of it was just useful stuff.
Yeah, I got stuck with some of that, too.
Hello, Norman.
Hello, Jeannie.
Hello, Joey.
Joey, why don't you say hello to Jeannie? She's my sister.
Hey, Norman, I bet you didn't see Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah? Did you?
Sure.
Did he come down the chimney?
We got radiators. Mama says for you to come in and wash up for supper.
I don't bother me. What a pet the sister is. I asked for a brother and I got you.
Now you better mind or Santa Claus won't bring you anything for Christmas.
We just had Christmas, Smarty.
Smarty yourself, I mean next year.
Huh! You don't have to be good all year. I figure 2 weeks before Christmas is plenty.
You do so too have to be good all year.
Good all year for just one Christmas?
Gee, that doesn't sound fair.
Yeah, if you've got to be good every day on account of Christmas, then it ought to be Christmas every day. What do you think, Joey?
It ought to be, but it ain't. That's on account of they got the wrong people in charge of it.
Who, Joey?
You know, grown-ups.
You know, Joey's absolutely right. I can't blame him for wanting Christmas every day if he has to be good every day. And that's the way it looks to him as he sits down to supper with Joan and his father and his mother on the day after Christmas.
Did you wash up before coming to the table, Joey?
Yes, Mom.
He didn't.
I did.
Did.
For goodness sakes, children, stop it.
Did.
Now, that's enough.
Didn't
what, Jean?
I forgot.
Joey, you aren't eating a thing. Pass your plate.
Oh, Mom, I don't like turkey hash.
Nonsense, son. It's delicious.
No, thank you, Mother. I don't believe I'll have any.
Daddy, is that right what Jeannie said? That you have to be good all year for Santa Claus to come?
That's right, son.
Gosh, if a fella's got to spend all his time being good, he never gets the time to live a little. Isn't that right, Daddy?
Huh? Oh, of course, Joey.
Father.
Hmm?
Oh, no, Joey, of course not.
Whatever your mother says. Mother, would you hand me that newspaper, please?
Here you are, dear. I haven't seen it yet. What are the headlines?
General Eisenhower gives up presidential ambitions, announces he has become Republican. Say, here's an interesting item. You remember that woman in Boston who left $50,000 to her cat last year?
Yes.
The cat just died and left it to another cat.
Well, that's sensible.
Here's an interesting item.
Read it, dear.
Park Avenue theater owners are lobbying in Washington against popcorn machines. Look at this headline. Snobby Lobby claims popcorn hobby makes their lobbies slobby.
Daddy, what's a lobby?
Well, a lobby is a group of people who go to Washington to put pressure on congressmen so they'll pass a new law.
Can they get any kind of a law passed?
Well, sometimes it seems that way.
Even if the president doesn't want it?
Especially.
Dad?
Yeah?
How far is it to Washington?
Well, I never said it. Somebody else must have said it. Well, the plot is not getting any thinner. Joey's getting an idea to have a law passed. Sort of a new OPA. Overthrow parents' authority. And naturally, the first thing he has to do is tell Norman.
Hey, Norman, we got to start a lobby. Okay, what's a lobby? Well, a lobby is when you go to Washington and tell a senator to pass a law. Who does? Anybody. Us, we could do it. We got rights just like people. No kidding. Sure. You just go to Washington and tell them to pass a law like no school, no washing for supper, no spankings, no running errands.
Well, they wouldn't pass all those laws.
Yeah.
But I know how you can get everything you want with just one law.
Yeah?
On Christmas, you don't go to school, you don't run errands, and you don't get spanked. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
So you just get the senator to pass a law making every day Christmas.
Jimmy!
Santa Claus would come every day, too.
You suppose he would?
He'd have to if it was a law.
Jimmy!
We haven't got a Jiminy. We got a radiator. Yes?
The three children have decided to go to Washington, and while the kids are packing their little overnight bags and buying their little railroad tickets, why don't we sit back and listen to little Fran Warren, who is still dreaming of a white Christmas, as she sings, "Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow."
All the weather outside is frightful, but the fire to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, you really hold me tight. All the way home I'll be wonder, fire is slowly dying. And my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow.
Thank you, Fran. Now we go back and join the three kids, Joey, Norman, and Jean, who, you probably remember, had decided to go to Washington as the head of a children's lobby to get a law passed making every day Christmas. They carry with them a petition signed by such leading American figures as Butch Jenkins and Margaret O'Brien. And so, to Washington, where the three children have just arrived.
Gee whiz, look at all the big buildings around. What's that thing? I saw a picture of that one. That's the Washington Monument. Wow, is he tall.
My mother says that maybe I'll grow up and be president.
They don't have girl presidents.
Why not?
Well, a president has to make laws and speeches and wars and things like that.
Yeah.
All ladies do is cook and go shopping and take care of the kids.
Well, they can do all that other junk in their spare time.
Hey, let's ask someone where we can find some senators.
Hey, there's a man. Let's ask him. Hello, mister.
Hiya.
We just came to Washington. We have to go someplace in an awful hurry.
Who's stopping you?
We don't know exactly where to go.
What's the matter? You lost?
No. We came to Washington to get something done.
You're lost.
No, we ain't lost. We got important business. We're going to see a real senator.
Big deal. Well, if you're looking for senators, why don't you go to the Senate building? It's on S Street.
They told us it was on O Street.
I tell him S. He tells me O.
Thanks, mister. I hope we'll see you again sometime.
Likewise.
Still don't know what Gerard was doing in Washington. But those children were there on business, and they started to look for a senator to get their bill introduced. In the crowd, they couldn't tell who was a senator because many senators look like people. So they went all around Washington where they saw many politicians and other sights. Finally, they came to an important government building.
This is the Bureau of Printing and Engraving.
What's that?
Well, this is where we make all the paper money.
Well, my daddy makes a lot of money.
I hope he doesn't make it the way we do.
How much money you got here, huh?
Oh, I don't know. I just keep making it. Then I never know where all that money goes.
That's just what Daddy always tells Mommy.
I tell you something, though. Last week alone, I made $20 million.
Gosh.
Last month, I made $200 million. For the year, I made $3 billion. And here's a sample of my work.
Gosh!
A picture of a penny.
Here's another place. Maybe they can help us here. I'll open the door.
Look here, Jones, haven't you found my fountain pen yet?
No, sir, and I've looked everywhere for
it. Well, now that pen's been missing for 3 weeks. Can't anybody in this place ever find anything?
What does it say on the door, Joey? Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Hey, Norm, maybe this is the place.
Yeah, it says Senate Committee. Let's go in.
Yes, yes, what is it? I'm a busy man. Where are you from?
Well, sir, we're from PS 58.
What congressional district?
Huh?
I said, what congressional district? Third, fourth, fifth?
Oh, we're from the third grade. Miss Horton is our teacher.
Horton? Horton? I don't know any Miss Horton.
Gee, didn't you ever go to school?
Of course I went to school, but that was 40 years ago.
Oh, Miss Horton must have been there then.
Now, listen, children, you just can't come walking in here. After all, this is the government.
I know. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Say, that's pretty good. Do you know who said that?
Yes, sir. Miss Horton.
Now, children, what can I do for you? I'm a busy man.
Mr. Senator, we came here about Christmas.
Yes. We don't think one Christmas a year is enough. We'd like to have Christmas every day.
Christmas every day? Well, I can't blame you. When I was young, I also had dreams. But now I don't dream of making everyone happy. I don't dream of solving all problems. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
What?
You don't sleep so good.
All the people, by the people, for the people. Miss Horton said that, eh?
Yes, sir. And we believe it, too.
I see. Let me ask you something, kiddies. Are you now or have you ever been a member?
They didn't get very far with that, Senator, but they weren't discouraged. After all, a child who can nag his mother into giving him an all-day sucker just before dinner, not going to be discouraged by a senator. And the children began to pick up support around the country. Newspaper headlines said,
kids claim cloakroom quorum.
One paper quoted the minority opposition group with the headline,
anti-kid block blocks kids block.
And on the air, you heard reports like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite news commentator, Walter Morgan.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. American Hall of Peace and Ship.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right, already. The Children's Committee for Christmas Every Day continues to meet with congressional biggies. Also, smallies. Lawmakers are weakening before lollipop lobby. And insiders said they didn't have a chance. Ha! All right, all right.
But, Mr. Secretary, we want it awful bad.
Ridiculous, absurd, flagrantly unconstitutional. Undermines the foundation of our government. Of the people, by the people, and for the people. As was said by that great statesman, Miss Horton of PS 58. Your proposal is undoubtedly a priori and e pluribus.
Now, what do you say to that? Now, stop that. Right now. Gee, you can't. You're just trying to. Oh, all right.
Woman's tears. How important they've been to history. If it weren't for a woman's tears, civilization wouldn't have many of its wonderful inventions. Mink coats, diamond bracelets, babies. And so, the children's lobby made progress. And on the air, you heard,
ladies and gentlemen, your favorite news commentator, H.V. Carlton Morgan.
Good morning. Tonight, the news from Washington concerns the United Nations delegate from Russia, who is, I understand, Russian. And
There is a discussion of the future of the United Nations, which, in my opinion, still lies ahead. This may mean nothing, or, on the other hand, something. Or both. Which is unlikely. At least at this time. Meanwhile, the children's lobby is making considerable progress in Washington. It looks very much as if the president will... Good night.
And finally, late on the next day...
Hey, Norman, let's try this place. We haven't been here. Okay, Joey, let's go up the steps.
Oh, welcome to the White House, children. Is there something I can do for you?
Well, we'd like to have a law pass.
I know just how you feel.
This would be a very popular law. See, we want to...
Just a moment, kiddies. Just a moment. Margaret. Just a moment. Margaret! Well, kiddies, I feel this way about it. You can please some of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time. But you can't please some of the people any of the time.
If you pass this law, you'll please all of the kids all of the time.
All right. I'll do it. Have a glass of buttermilk?
Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite news commentator, Gabriel Morgan.
Ah, there's good news tonight. There's a little light burning in the White House tonight. And there's something about the sign of a white light burning bright in a house that's white. That makes a man want to shout out so all the world can hear. Ah, there's good news tonight. Ah, and little children are rejoicing tonight. All over the world tonight. And I've just been handed a flash, and it says, good night. And so the law was... Thank you on behalf of that fellow. And so the law was passed making every day of the year Christmas. Every day of the year. And there were great changes throughout the land. The George Washington Bridge was torn down to make a Richter set. The Ford assembly lines converted overnight to making four-door Tinker Toys. On the stock market, the flexible flyer went up and down. And every poor little girl had a mama doll. And every rich little girl had a mater doll. Did this make boys and girls happy? It's now 1 year later. The children have had Christmas every day for a year. The time is now December 24th, and the same two little boys are talking.
Hello, Norman. Hello, Joey. What have you got there? A sled. How many sleds you got? 364. Me too. How many footballs you got? 364. How many skates you got? 728.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Jean. What have you got there?
Oh, another old doll.
What's its name?
Ditto.
You know, I broke the window in the garage today. Gee, that's good. Maybe we won't get any credit.
Nah, they forgave me.
Why?
Because it's Christmas.
Ah, gee, Christmas every day. I sure miss the 4th of July.
Yeah, me too.
I sure wish we had July 4th every day. Now, don't start that again.
Oh, look, fellas. Here comes Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Well, hello, children. Merry Christmas.
What's so funny?
Well, here it is, Christmas. Again. And I have the peachiest present for all you children. Norman, would you like to see what I brought you?
Nah.
Oh, I got the best sled in the whole world for you.
You said that yesterday.
Oh, this one's got fog lights and ashtrays and a radio and chromium bumpers.
I got that kind.
I know, but this one's a convertible.
I don't want it.
Oh, now, don't make me take it back to the North Pole again. You know what we agreed, fellas. No returns.
Okay, okay. Put it on that pile over there.
Well, fine. Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Santa.
Yes?
How about not coming tomorrow?
Not come tomorrow?
Yes. Well, why don't you skip tomorrow and make it a holiday?
Oh, I'd love to, children. My feet are killing me. But you know, it's Christmas every day. It was your idea. See you tomorrow. Christmas, you know. Oh, those bells. I think I'll put in the buzzer. Well, goodbye.
You know, kids, Christmas all year round is awful. Our law has got to be repealed. It's a priori. It's si pluribus. Down with Miss Horton.
On to Washington. Right on!
And so the children talked to the men in Washington who repealed the law and changed Christmas back to once a year. And all the children were happy again, and the moral of the story is, nil comparandum, nil quantulatum, nil ultimus. As said by that great Latin scholar and philosopher, Miss Horton of PS 58. Translated, this means, Merry Christmas, everybody, and a Happy New Year to you all.
The Henry Morgan Show, on Tuned to Yesterday, an episode from Christmas Day 1946 on ABC. You're listening to an hour of Christmas comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeFonier. And now an episode of Burns and Allen broadcast the very day after that Henry Morgan broadcast on December 26th, 1946, on the NBC Radio Network, with special guest Eddie Cantor.
It's George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Twas the day after Christmas, and in the Burns house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Oops, my mistake. George is stirring.
You know, Gracie, I just can't get over this beautiful Christmas present Eddie Cantor gave me. $110 smoking jacket.
Yes, it's hard to believe, all right, but there's the price tag hanging right on it.
That was probably an oversight on the part of some clerk. Eddie would die if he knew it was on there.
Well, then why does his card read, Merry Christmas from Eddie Cantor, who paid $110 for this jacket?
Some clerk wrote that.
Did you see what it says on the outside of the package?
No.
It says special delivery. What's 13 cents to a man who's already spent $110?
Well, I don't care. It's a beautiful gift. Boy, $110. I'll bet that's more than he spent on Ida.
Well, of course it is. He got her for nothing.
I meant that's more than he spent on her Christmas present.
Something awfully strange about this, George. It's not like Eddie Cantor to spend all this money.
Well, I guess he figures he can't take it with him.
George, if Eddie can't take it with him, he'll find a way to send for it. There's the door. I'll answer it.
Gee, $110 smoking jacket. No more of those 2-for-a-nickel cigars while I'm wearing this. From now on, I smoke only Royal Havana Super Deluxe King Specials. 3 for a dime.
That was the delivery man, Judge. Look, someone sent you an Erector set.
Erector set?
Uh-huh.
That's a child's toy. Somebody's trying to rib me. What does the card say?
It says, to little Georgie Pargy from Santa Claus.
Oh, fine.
George, did you write Santa Claus a letter?
This is not from Santa Claus. It's from somebody who wants to pull my leg.
Oh, that's your tailor. He's always wanted to get your legs even.
My legs are even. Some wise guy. Anyway, this Erector set just makes me appreciate Eddie Cantor's gift all the more. $110 smoking jacket. Now, there's a present.
Oh, well, don't feel so bitter about this Erector set, dear. Maybe it'll be lots of fun. Look at the things it says you can make with it. A teeter-totter?
A teeter-totter? Oh, jolly. Won't the fellows at the cigar store envy me when they see my teeter-totter?
Well, now, just a minute.
I'll hide it behind my back and say, guess what, fellows? And they'll say, golf clubs? Fishing tackle? And I'll say, no, a teeter-totter.
Dear, you play with your Erector set.
Play with it, my foot. I wouldn't touch the silly thing.
Good morning, Missy Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman. Well, how do you feel? Did delivering all that Christmas mail wear you out?
Oh, yeah. My feet have blisters that belong on a B-29.
Oh, you poor man.
I delivered more mail than Bing Crosby's obstetrician.
Well, I hope Santa Claus is good to you. Was there something nice in your stocking yesterday morning?
Yes, but there was something horrible in my wife's stocking.
Oh, what was it?
My wife. How about your Christmas, Mrs. Burns? Was the jolly old gentleman with the big tummy good to you?
Oh, George is always good to me. This year he gave me a lovely gold bracelet. I picked it out myself.
Then it wasn't a surprise?
Well, it will be to George. He doesn't know about it yet. And right now I don't dare tell him. He's in a pretty bad humor.
How come?
Oh, some practical joker gave him a child's toy for Christmas. One of those Erector sets. George is furious.
I pulled a similar joke on my wife, Bertha, one Christmas. I gave her a broom.
Well, what's wrong with giving your wife a broom?
It had a saddle and stirrups on it. Bertha was mad as a hornet.
Well, I'll bet it handed you a laugh.
Laugh? I thought I'd die. And so did the doctor. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Well, not much mail, George. Just a few late Christmas cards and... Why, George!
I made a teeter-totter. And I did it in 6 minutes flat.
Oh, I'm proud of you, darling. Only 6 minutes? Why, it says right here in the box, to make a teeter-totter should take the average child about... Well, it's new to you.
What does it say the average child should take?
30 seconds.
Well, anyway, this thing is sure a lot of fun. And now I'm going to start a steam shovel. Come in.
Mr. Byrne?
Yes, what is it, son?
I believe you've got my Erector set by mistake.
Huh?
My name is Georgie Lemaire, and I live across the street. And the delivery man says he got the wrong house and left it here.
Oh, we're sorry it happened, little boy. Put it in the box, George, and give it to him.
Wait a minute. Look, kid. How would you like to have a nice smoking jacket? $110 smoking jacket.
No, sir, I want my Erector set.
Well, give it to him, George.
But, kid, look. This smoking jacket is from Eddie Cantor.
Who's he?
Who's he? Tell him, Gracie.
Why, Sonny Eddie Cantor is the man who... He tells all those... He's the biggest... Give him the Erector set.
Now, look, kid, can't we make a deal? This is a beautiful smoking jacket.
I want my Erector set.
Oh, all right. But let me finish the steam shovel first.
By then, he'll be old enough for the smoking jacket.
Never mind. How about it, kid?
I want my Erector set.
Now, look, I wouldn't want to use force on an 8-year-old. but I'm going to finish that steam shovel if I have to throw you down and sit on you.
No, you're not. You give me that.
Now let go of that.
Give
let
me
go.
Here.
Let go. Let go.
Oh, shame on you, you bully. You let him up this instant. There. Now you take your erector set and go home, Sonny. Did he hurt you, George?
Kid, he would have to come after his erector set just when I was getting interested.
Oh, well, never mind, dear. You'll get over it.
But I wanted to finish that steam shovel.
Oh, well, there. Mama will make some ice cream and let you lick the dasher.
Oh, stop. Just because I happen to enjoy building things. Come in.
Hello, all.
Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Somebody took away his erector set.
Oh, well, George, I don't have an erector set, but I'd be glad to lend you my set of tiddlywinks. Although it's not quite complete.
Look, Meredith.
All the winks are there, but in the excitement of a recent game, I broke my red tiddly.
Meredith?
Or, you might be interested in a Cupid doll I have, which, when patted on the stomach, says Mama.
No, I'm not interested.
Would you care to hear how I got that Cupid doll?
No.
It was at the Saragorda County Fair back in 1928. There was a booth there where for a nickel you could buy three baseballs, hurl them at assorted knickknacks, and keep whatever knickknack you knocked over. I purchased three balls and let fly with the right goodwill.
And you knocked over the Cupid doll?
No, I knocked over J.C. Tolliver, a local apothecary. He was at a nearby booth eating hot buttered popcorn.
My goodness.
Undismayed, I cut loose with the second baseball.
Oh, and that time you got the Cupid doll.
No, got J.C. Tolliver again. He was bending over to pick up his hot buttered popcorn.
Show me how he was bending over, Meredith.
Like this, George.
Ow! Goodbye, Meredith.
Goodbye, all.
Oh, yes. Tiddlywinks. All I want is an erector set so I can build a steam shovel.
And unless you get one, there'll never be an end to this. You wait here.
Gee, Gracie, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, George, I knew you wouldn't be happy until you had an erector set, so I went to the store and got you one.
Boy. Hey, where'd you get the money?
I traded the smoking jacket for it.
You traded Eddie Cantor's $110 smoking jacket for this erector set?
That smoking jacket didn't cost $110, dear. I talked to the man Eddie bought it from.
But it had a big price tag on it.
He bought that from the same man.
Well, how much did Eddie pay for the jacket? $100?
No.
$75?
Nope.
$50?
Mm-mm.
How much?
Well, the erector set was 12 and a half.
Yeah.
I traded the smoking jacket.
Yeah.
We owe the store 2.5.
The smoking jacket cost $10.
That included 4 boxes of cigars.
The cigars I didn't even get.
You didn't get the set of dishes either.
A set of dishes came with it?
And a pocket knife.
A pocket knife?
And a round trip to Azusa.
Murder. I'd like to have had the pocket knife.
Yeah. Well, the salesman said that that knife really should be in the pocket of the smoking jacket at all times.
Why?
Well, in case you spill water on the jacket, you can cut your way out before it chokes you to death.
He's exaggerating. Besides, I don't care what Eddie paid for the jacket. It's the spirit of the gift that counts. Now, you go right back to the May Company and get it.
It didn't come from the May Company.
Bullocks?
No.
Broadway?
Uh-uh.
Where?
Laughing Frankie Gordon.
That smiling Frankie Gordon.
He laughed when he saw that.
Well, you get it back here. No matter what the jacket is worth, it's Eddie's gift to me and I want it. Besides, I don't believe all that stuff about a free trip to Azusa and a set of dishes. Eddie Cantor's got plenty of money and he... Come in.
Oh, Merry Christmas, George and Gracie. Merry Christmas.
Well, Eddie...
Merry Christmas.
I know, Gracie. I got caught overnight in Azusa.
Azusa?
Yeah, I just happened to have a round-trip ticket.
I see. Eddie, what did you give Ida for Christmas?
Ida, oh, a lovely gift. A set of dishes.
I thought so.
And how about your five daughters?
Well, to Janet, the oldest one, I gave a beautiful pocket knife. Then to each of the other four girls, I gave a box of cigars.
Cigars?
Money is no object to me.
But, Eddie, your daughters don't smoke cigars.
Their husbands can smoke them.
But won't the cigars be awfully stale by then?
You... They'll be dead and buried by then. Oh, yes, oh, yes. But enough about my Christmas. Did you get the smoking jacket I sent you, George?
Oh, yes. Thanks, Eddie.
Oh, that's all right. What's $110 among friends?
Who said anything about $110?
The price tag came off? Why, how could it? I stuck it on with a Pabst beer label. Oh, well, as long as I know you got it. Well, now, how would you two like to eat dinner with me, huh?
Oh, we'd love it.
Well, thanks. Now, don't fix anything extra, Gracie. I'll take potluck.
You're eating here?
Well, yes, I want to see George in that beautiful smoking jacket I gave him. Why don't you put it on right now, George?
Yes. Gracie, run get that jacket for me.
Yeah, all right. It's in the next room. I'll be back in a half hour.
Yeah. Wait a minute. It takes you a half hour to walk into the next room and back?
Thick carpet.
Oh, yes, yes. let me get it for you.
No,
huh?
No. I just happened to think. I took the smoking jacket to the cleaners.
I... Already?
Well, yeah, George got smoke on it. I'll be right back.
Well, look, my car's out front. I'll drive it to the cleaner.
Oh, no. I'm too tired. I'd rather walk. Goodbye.
Gee, I hope she gets it, Eddie. I wouldn't want anything to happen to a $110 jacket.
Look, George, we've known each other for 25 years. You and I, well, we can be honest with each other. That jacket didn't cost $110.
No?
No. I put that price tag on it so as not to embarrass you.
Embarrass me?
How would you feel if you knew I really paid $150 for it?
I'd die.
They say it's wonderful. Our nomination for the best song of 1946, Meredith Wilson and his music.
George, is Gracie here?
No, Bill. She's going to pick up my smoking jacket. You know Eddie Cantor, don't you?
Oh, of course. Hello, Mr. Cantor.
Oh, Bill, my boy. How are you? Looks
fine.
Good. Haven't been by to call on my daughters lately.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I did call on your daughter Janet last night. You weren't there.
I know. I spent the night in Azusa. Bill, did you have a good time with Janet?
Well, Mr. Cantor, I would have, but...
But what?
When did she start carrying a pocket knife?
A smart Christmas present I gave her. How was Ida, Bill? Was she lonesome without me?
Well, I don't know. She was out seeing the Jolson story.
Every night Ida sees the Jolson's daughter? She getting passes? Tell me, were the other girls home?
Oh, yes. They introduced me to a game called Break One and Get One.
Break One and Get One?
Yeah. It seems that some schnook gave Ida a cheap set of dishes. And she wanted the girls to get rid of them, so every time I broke one, I got a cigar.
A cigar?
Yeah, the same schnook gave the girls cigars.
I wonder who that schnook could be.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Cantor, speaking of the Jolson story, I think they should do a picture about you.
No, no, no. How would that sound, the schnook story? It's no good. It wouldn't work out.
Well, really, I think it's a great idea, Mr. Cantor. Now, Jolson had to have a handsome young fellow named Larry Parks to play his part, but you wouldn't need him.
That's right. I wouldn't.
No, I could do it.
Now, look, if you two think that you can...
Well, I'm back. We can have dinner now. Oh, hello, Bill.
Hi, Gracie.
George, may I speak to you alone for a moment?
Sure.
Excuse it, Daddy.
That's all right.
Did you get the smoking jacket?
Well, I couldn't. The store was closed.
And what's in the package?
Well, I stopped by the cleaners and got your overcoat. You can wear that at the dinner table.
An overcoat?
Well, we'll tell Eddie you're wearing the smoking jacket under it.
He'll think I'm crazy.
No, he won't. We'll open all the windows and get it freezing cold in the house. Thank goodness we live in Los Angeles when you can do that.
Well, that's a big help. Gracie, it doesn't happen to be freezing cold outside.
Well, open the windows anyway. In 2 minutes, he won't be able to see you for the smog.
That won't work either.
Oh, you put on the overcoat. I'll think of something.
Okay. Anything to keep Eddie from knowing you traded in his Christmas present.
Room. Dinner's on the table.
Oh, swell. I can't wait to see George in that smoking jacket.
Well, there he is.
Yeah, he's wearing an overcoat.
Well, naturally. We're having a cold meal.
Yes, I'm very sensitive to heat and cold.
What does he wear when you have a hot meal?
I don't know. Ladies aren't allowed.
You like this meal, Eddie? Sliced bologna, cold chicken...
Yeah, oh, the chicken's another reason for the overcoat. It saves wear and tear on the tablecloth.
How?
Well, he can stick the bones in his pocket.
It's neater that way.
Chicken, Eddie?
Thanks. It seems a shame to cover up a $200 smoking jacket.
The last time you mentioned the price, it was $150.
What a memory. Well, there were a few extras. Special buttons, fancy buttonholes, a $10 tip for the boy who delivered it.
Bologna, Eddie?
Only the part about the tip. Oh, you're passing the bologna. Thanks.
Whatever it cost, Eddie, I really appreciate it.
Well, don't mention it, George. I'm just a generous, open-handed type that loves to do things for my friends.
Applesauce, Eddie?
You're asking me to have some?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, thanks. As I was saying, George, I'm the generous type, and I never expect a favor in return. When I bought you that smoking jacket, I had no idea that I'd be asking you to appear on my radio program next Thursday night.
Applesauce, Eddie.
I just took some.
This time I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
Well, how about you two coming on my show next week? I can arrange it so you won't have to pay any income tax.
That's great. How can you do that?
It's simple. I won't give you any money. But for old time's sake, what do you say, kids, huh?
Okay, Eddie, we'll be on your program. Let's get to work on the script. I'll take off my coat and
no,
we'll start
don't,
to...
George. No, don't take the coat off. No, no, no.
Hey, wait a minute. There's no smoking jacket under that overcoat.
George, you've been robbed.
Huh?
The thief must still be here. Don't leave this room, Eddie Cantor.
Gracie Allen, I did not steal it.
Oh, it's no use, Gracie. We might as well confess. Eddie, we traded the smoking jacket in for an Erector set.
An Erector set? For that $300 smoking jacket? That came with gold buttons and velvet lapels and silk lining that lit up with neon signs?
A set of dishes and a pocket knife.
And a round trip to Azusa? Oh, you know about that.
Eddie, we know the jacket cost $10.
Gee, I'm sorry. Kids, naturally, now I can't ask you to appear on my program for nothing. Honestly, I feel terrible.
Well, why don't you pass?
No, then I'll feel worse. But I guess it's the only decent thing to do. Come on, you two come over to my house and I'll make it worth your while, huh?
Eddie.
Not at all, Gracie. I'll see you and George on my program next Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Eddie.
Goodbye, children.
Well, Gracie, what did Eddie give you?
George, I'll never have to ask you for money again.
You won't?
No. Whenever I want some, I'll just pull this pocket knife on you.
Oh.
When we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin.
Maxwell House Coffee Time on Tuned to Yesterday, better known as the Burns and Allen Show, from December 26th, 1946 on NBC. And that closes this hour of Christmas comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Happy holidays.